Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
From the Armchair is presented by Raymore & Flanagan. Raymore & Flanagan, a proud partner of the Buffalo Bills, and here to do that with us, former Bills center Mitch Morse, who's also the host of the Monday Mornings with Mitch podcast. And Mitch, a resounding victory that they kind of had to hang on to at the end there to beat the Chiefs, as a play that could have ended the game prematurely went off the right upright and led to some harrowing moments in the end, but it works. And I'm curious, your thoughts going in, because I really felt the Chiefs were coming in on a heater. I did not anticipate them to not play their best game, which I think is safe to say. That's due partly to the play of the Bills, but I thought the Bills were going to have to get two takeaways to win that game, and they only needed one.
Yeah, I think it was just a tremendous another iteration of what this delicious book between that is being written right now between the Bills and Chiefs. Of course, in the regular season, it's been one sided. The postseason's been another. But it was just a fascinating game to watch. It was electric. It was the must-see television for Sunday. And it did not disappoint, man. I thought the Bills played admirably. A physical, well-executed game plan. And, yeah, they caught the Chiefs on a day that they weren't able to execute to the same tune as Buffalo. So it was a fun game to watch, and it's a great momentum-pushing game into this back half of the season.
We've seen these two teams face off 10 times now, right? And this – I've said this a couple of times. I want to get your – opinion about it. This every game of those, has this moment or whatever. This Bills Chiefs game was really about the Bills defense more so yes. than any other of the matchups that we've seen. Is that right?
I would absolutely concur with that. One thing that really stood out to me was the pressures that the defensive line was able to get just due to the fact at times that Pat had to hold on to the football. And then I thought there was some really good timed blitzes. I think of the Benford sack. I really enjoyed some of the rush patterns where they had a guy off the ball who would, whether it was an odd front or four down linemen in an odd front, where they would just run as fast as they could, pick the tackle, and give the defensive ends opportunities to get out and make some plays. It was just fun to watch. And kind of speaking on what I was talking about earlier, they brought a physicality. They brought a juice that you could feel it through the television. You could feel it on the field. They wanted this game, and they executed first and foremost, and then they brought the physical nature that you need to compete against a very well-coached and very talented Chiefs team.
Josh Allen completes 23 of 26 passes. They go to 10 different players, but the two they went to the most were Kincaid and Shakir. I know you were pretty happy with Shakir's performance. And then, not surprisingly, you as a former lineman enjoyed the run blocking in this one. Expand on that, if you will.
Yes. Yes. I mean, Kincaid is just, talk about a snowball. He is turning into a safety net for Josh. It seems like they really crushed the play action pass under center passing game. It seems to, you know, be alive. And then the drop backs, two huge plays to Kincaid with, you know, amazing pass protection. It comes down again, and I know I've said this two or three times now, the offensive line, just from play one to the last play, just really instilled physicality in the way that they played. And even in pass protection, I think that's something that's looked upon as something passive, and it can't be in this league. And these guys protected their tails off, and then they showed that physicality. But the thing about Khalil that stood out to me more than just his ability to be an outlet on these quick screen game, which I think he's amazing at. He does such a good job of finding those narrow openings and making something out of nothing at times, and also just kind of creating these. He always seems to be falling forward. But, you know, this is a team that consciously made the decision that they wanted to keep running the ball with less tight ends, just show a different look. And Khalil was asked a lot of times to be that backside blocker on these runs. And, man, I got to tell you, he was physical as hell. His hand placement was great. And in the first drive alone, two of the first runs, he was in the backside of those, blocking his tail off. And then there was a quick kind of bubble screen to Tyus Johnson. He was a huge catalyst for that. And that was something that just kept showing up over and over and over again. And I got to tell you, I'm all for it. It just kind of shows to the unselfish nature that, you know, this team talks about. We want dudes like at receivers who are going to block their you know, their butts off. And Khalil did that and more.
Yeah, it's really interesting because the Bills, we were talking about it just now, they're number three, I think, in scoring and number one in yards. I mean, the Bills' offense is clicking. It's humming. And they ran the ball 35 times against the Chiefs and threw it only 26 times. Now, it helps when Josh is completing 23 of 26, but they ran it 35 times. Some people guess, well, when you run the ball, you don't score as much. Well, not so fast. That's why is it possible for the Bills to do that? How can they run the ball so much and, you know, they got time of possession and they still score a ton of touchdowns?
Well, to your point, Steve, I think you look at it first pragmatically in regards to time of possession, especially against the Chiefs, right? You don't want to give that offense an opportunity to get rolling on the other side of the ball. But what it does, and we've seen a bunch of it, is I don't know how, you know, what percentage of the passes that the Bills do are actual, you know, shotgun snaps. You run the ball from under center over and over again, and you make the defense have to recognize that, and you have to accept that. And what that does is it frees up this play action game, which this team has done such a good job of. And then when you have an opportunity to do these dropbacks, you hit it to Khalil, or, you know, those two passes to Kincaid, it was great protection. And it just seemed like the good Lord blessed this team with the execution bug in the best way possible on Sunday, and they could do no wrong.
I know you were also a big fan of Cole Bishop's performance. You were not alone. Some people called it his coming out performance, you know, as a young player on the back end that really kind of came into his own through the course of a single game. And I mean, this team had five pass breakups in the game. He had four of them.
Yeah. Yeah. He did such a good job. You got to give the flowers to the man, right? He earned his dues because from play one to, you know, even that second, that first Hail Mary, rather, he was making plays. He was being aggressive. You could see that he was in that flow state and he was comfortable. And in the biggest moments of the game, in one of the biggest games of his young career, he showed out in the best way. I think about that second quarter where he made those two plays on that third down, that kind of little, that little ditch that Pat made in the bubble, and he came up, and then that fourth down play, that quick in and out, or out and in rather from Rasheed Rice. He made it a tremendous play, and you could just see what that meant to his teammates. You could see the energy that that brought to the dudes. This team's got each other's back, and Cole Bishop really made a statement that he's here to stay. And I was happy as hell for him.
Yeah, it has been a little bit of a roller coaster, as it is with a lot of young players. We haven't seen too much of him since he had the interception earlier in the season on the 2-yard line. Going, is that a Saints game?
Saints game.
And I think it does bode well that this wasn't just a single play like a spectacular reception. It was play after play after play after play, right down to the last Hail Marys. And I think that's, you know, you want to see the guy do it all the time rather than flash once in a while.
Well, it just takes one time. It takes one time to gain that confidence as a player. Confidence as a player is hard to come by at times and easy to lose, right? It just depends on, you know, the way the tide's going and such. And it just seems like this team has poured into him, and the coaching staff's poured into him, and he's got a confidence about himself, which you want at a safety or a cornerback position. And I mean, just think about the hit he made on Travis, or I mean, my favorite play was that tackle for loss that he made. He could have made that play immediately, but he continued the play. He did not give up on the play. And as a young player to see that was so exceptional. And it's going, hopefully it's a catalyst for him to continue to produce week in and week out.
And I know the edge rushers made an impact. It did not come without an injury, unfortunately. Last week, they have a great defensive performance. They lose Ed for probably the balance of the regular season. And then Sunday, they get 3 sacks, 15 quarterback hits, and they lose Michael Hoyt for the season with an Achilles. How do you rebound as a team from a loss like that? Yes, we know football can often have season-ending losses, and it seems like the season-ending injuries are up this year around the league. It's been nuts how many guys are just gone for the rest of the season. It's bananas. It seems higher to me. How do you rally as a unit and try to make up for the void that's left behind by a player like that?
It'll be tough, right? You add the human element to this. Yes, Michael Hoyt was only around for a game and a half, but what you were able to see, his energy, his execution, it was palpable, man. So my heart goes out to him. It hurts. But there's stuff that these guys did this past weekend that was pretty exceptional. And you saw young guys come in and make those plays and are stout in the run. And I mean, if you got guys like a dude like Joey Bosa, who talks about, hey, this has reinvigorated my career. Yeah, it stood out to me. The guy was playing the most snaps I'd seen him play all year. He was using every tool in the bag of tricks that he had. He made the big plays in the big moments. And, I mean, you had that tackle for loss with the inside move. He was using speed to power. He was using speed to power to these, you know, these really kind of fun, quick swims inside and out. I mean, look at that, dude. Tell me that's not a guy who's got a little bit of juice still left in him. The team seems to revolve around that guy on defense. And then, I mean, the very last play, you know, you have that Hail Mary opportunity with Pat having the ball in his hands. Everyone's got a little bit of that nervous energy because you know what he can do. You get a guy like Joey Bosa and Groot on the other side who creates pressure so that he's got to use his, you know, he can't put his power behind it and it falls short. So from the very beginning to that very last play, you have guys like that who are going to be these catalysts that we had talked about for that energy, for that execution, that have that proverbial rallying cry around them. Just see how it goes, man. Like you said, it's football. It's the next man up. It's the terrible part of this business, but I have every bit of faith in this team, especially what they showed me this past
last game. Last one, Mitch. What do you remember about playing in Miami as a Bill?
Well, I'll tell you, the sideline on our, you know, the opposing sideline is about 30 degrees warmer. You pray to God that there was some sort of rain shower because that was the only time the clouds came through. But it was always conducive for pretty good games. Like once you got over the heat element aspect, of course, there's that one outlier back in 2022 and it was like 3,000 degrees. But it is a real fun place to play football. The Bills travel extremely well. Yeah. You know, weirdly, people want to go down to South Florida in November to go watch the boys play some football. You know, it'll be 85 degrees, a little bit of sun. You don't want to make too much of it. And once the game gets flowing, the boys will be fired up.
Yeah, that's what I remember, too.
Yeah. Mitch, thanks for the time, as always. We appreciate it. We will catch up with you next week.
I appreciate you, fellas. Take it easy.
Thanks, all right, Mitch. That's Mitch Morse joining us from The Armchair, presented by Raymore and Flanagan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, we'll get to Paul Hamilton. Paul Hamilton joining us on the Western Hotline. The Sabres played in overtime last night and lost. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Paul, you've heard these emotions, a million trade deadlines in years past,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
Right.
I mean, you said it perfectly.
Well, it just feels like when you've got an opportunity, you know, I like the caller said, I can't know the trades that they ultimately did not pull the trigger on, but you've never won, you're good, and it feels like a missed opportunity. That's how it feels.
Yeah, I mean, my first thought is, again, they didn't do anything. I just don't think Bean values wide receiver because he has Josh Allen. I really think he honestly believes that if you have Josh Allen, you just basically need guys that can catch the ball. And it doesn't really matter who they are because you have Josh Allen. And, of course, if you have Josh Allen, you're always in the ball game. You're always in the hunt. That's true. But you can also get a lot better if you have a better wide receivers than the Buffalo Bills have.
Also, would have thought, you know, maybe defensive tackle, defensive end. So I'm the wide receiver guy, Paul. I need to make sure people know I was open to other positions as well. Anyway, All right. So the Sabres, Paul, they lost in overtime last night and had the stat from earlier that in their last 14 overtime games, they have one goal. They go to shootouts and they lose. They do not win in 3-on-3. And I guess the question I've got for you is, you know, not that you have all 14 of these fresh on the top of your mind, is this a structural problem or is this that players on this team don't finish in overtime?
They don't finish. They have had golden opportunities. And you're right. I mean, 5 in a row for the Sabres. And the only one that they won was the shootout. And in every single one of them, the guys that you could handpick to get the opportunities got them. And they were grade A, great opportunities. And last night, Alex Tuch, right down the middle. Great glove save. Yeah. The Sabres were facing a goalie who they just can't beat. He is a Saber killer. But that's the guy, you could say, all right, you're going to get one just fantastic scoring chance. Who would you like? Well, Thompson, of course, would come out of your mouth.
Yep.
Tuck might be the second one out of your mouth. And he got it. And he also, if you recall, got an absolutely wide open net in the third period on a 3-on-1. They executed it perfectly. You know, great pass right to Tuck. Wide open net. Missed the net. I mean, so he had two grade A golden opportunities. One to put the Sabres ahead. The other to win the hockey game. And he couldn't do it. But back to the overtime thing. I mean, in every single one of them. It's that. Those are the guys that are getting the chances. And, you know, I mean, they're playing. I mean, they had it going in. Their points percentage was .722 in their last nine. Hmm. They have one regulation loss in their last 10 games. Yep. One. And all they're doing is staying above water. They're 1 point out of the cellar in the Eastern Conference. And they're 1 point out of the two wild card positions held by Toronto and Philadelphia, who have 15 points. And the Sabres are sitting there with five other teams at 14 points. And behind them are the Washington Capitals and Florida Panthers with 13 points. So that's the crazy thing about this, is one regulation loss, 5-1-4 in their last 10 games, and all they've been able to do is keep up.
Yeah. Paul, you mentioned Thompson with a chance there. He's got 5 goals in 13 games. One thing that kind of jumps out at me about Thompson, his shooting percentage this year is half of what it was last year. His last 4 seasons, 15, 16, 12, and 18, if I can round a little bit here. And this year he's shooting at 9%. Do you find that Tage is snake-bitten, or is he not getting the same kind of chances? What do you see out of Thompson? Because if his shooting percentage were double, he'd have double the goals, right? Like, and maybe a career high, asking for a career high, which is what last year was, is asking a bit much. But he is below his career shooting percentage considerably.
And I think with him, he will get there. I don't know when that will be, but he will get there. He had 2 posts last night. One early. You know, he went into the backhand and hit a post. And, you know, so right now I think he's just snake-bitten. He's the one guy I don't particularly worry about when it comes to goal scoring and slumps and that kind of thing, because last year I remember he didn't score a goal at all. I think it was the first 5 games, somewhere in there. And then the next thing, he scored in every game for the next 5 or 6. And he was off and running. So that's – he just has to get off and running and see the puck go in the net. And he, too, has had some opportunities to win hockey games for them. And just – it looked like for a bit there that maybe it was starting to come. You know, that he did score in consecutive games. It was the 2 Leaf games. I think he had 3 goals in the 2 Leaf games. And I'm thinking, okay, here we go. I mean, now he's going to get going. And, you know, he really hasn't. And I hate to sit here. I know it's next guy up. And I know they now in the last week have 3 guys that have scored their first NHL goal. It's the first time since Richard Schmelick and Yuri Hemelev scored their first NHL goals that's happened for them. That's how long ago it was. But to me, here they are playing one of the best teams in the National Hockey League so far this year in the Utah Mammoth. They're 3 points behind Colorado for the lead in the Central Division. And as I'm going through very quickly, I believe Colorado has the most points. They do. They have the most points in the NHL. So Utah has really played well this year. and the Sabres show up without Josh Norris, Zach Benson, Jason Zucker, Yuri Kulik, Tyson Kozak, and Justin Danforth. And Colton Ellis, I still don't think is 100%. That's tough. I mean, Norris and Benson are supposed to be on your top line. Zucker was just on your top line with Kulik trying to fill in. They're sick. I mean, that's a tough task to come in and play. That's a lot of people out of your lineup. And Roseanne and Austin are doing a nice job. So it's done coming up from Rochester. But they aren't the players that I just named. And that's a tough task to ask. And they still were able to get a point and had every opportunity to win a hockey game, even without those guys. And by the way, the only one with a chance of being ready Thursday would be Kozak.
803-0550 for Paul Hamilton on the Sabres here. Paul, you've seen a couple games here of Michael Kesselring, who they got from Utah last night, a revenge game for Doan and Kesselring and Peterka. What are you seeing from Kesselring? How do you like him as a player and how he fits in this team right now?
I agree with him. I think he evaluated himself perfectly on the pregame show that it's time. You know, he goes, first game I did all right, the next two I didn't. He goes, I've had enough games now, it's time to get my game back. You know, because this is basically, if you think about it, been his preseason. And and right off the bat, he had maybe the best chance. Nope, I think Tuck missing the net, a wide open net. The second best chance of the night when Byram saw him come in from the right point. He was wide open. Byram put a perfect pass on his stick down low, right where Vemelka is. Kesselring knows Vemelka. He's teammates with. He knows what he can do. And he somehow got over and stopped what should have been a tap-in. It was a perfect pass. And, you know, Kesselring, I could just tell how frustrated and angry he was coming back that he missed that opportunity. That was very early in the game.
Yep.
Which would have given the Sabres a 1-0 lead. It was, and then Byram missed coming down the middle, and then Byram set up Quinn. This all happened like within 30 seconds. And, you know, then I thought to myself, yep, this goaltender has goalied them his whole career right now. Against the Sabres, he is now 5-2-1 with a 1.75 goals against and a .941 save percentage. And remember the guy who's backing him up, Vanacek?
Yeah.
His numbers are just about the same against Buffalo. These two goaltenders, it might be the best two goaltenders against Buffalo active in the NHL right now. But Kesselring, I'm starting to see him get a little bit more involved offensively, you know, in the offensive zone, being that fourth guy coming in late. And, you know, he made a good hit. You know, I haven't seen a lot of contact yet, which I think we will. I just think he's trying to find his footing. He said systemly he's trying to find his footing with the system, but he said it's long enough. You know, he goes, I did have some preseason. I didn't have a lot. And, you know, he said he has three now, four games, and he was very blunt. He says the time has come. I got to start playing up to my potential.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline, chatting Sabres, who lost in overtime last night. So, Paul, eye on the blue and gold. Let's do that going forward, because you mentioned all the injuries. Like, are we expecting to see them get healthier soon? I mean, how long until they start to get some of their bodies back?
Well, I saw Benson with a walking boot on last night.
Right, so that's not good.
Yeah, so he still has it on. So he doesn't look like he's coming back. I think I can confidently say I'm not going to see him Thursday. Zucker and Kulik. Zucker was sick, and then yesterday Ruff said he's worse. That's why he went on IR, to make room for Ostlund, because Ruff said, he goes, I don't think Zucker and Kulik could be ready anyway on Thursday, and you can retroact IR. So Zucker went on IR last Saturday, and then he'd be eligible to come off this Saturday. If he's not ready Thursday, it wasn't going to be ready. You could have put them both on IR if you wanted to and pulled them off on Saturday. Kulik, he's trying to play with what I'll call an inner ear infection. I usually don't speculate, but I've had one, very bad one in college, where I tried to get out of bed. I fell right to the floor. I mean, you just have no sense of balance whatsoever. And the way Lindy Ruff described it, he goes, it's kind of like when your kid, and you, Jeremy, you would know this better than I would, has like fluid in their ears.
Yeah.
And he said he tried to play through it and he just couldn't. And so to me, that's an inner ear infection. So it's affecting his balance. And he's not getting better either. So that's why Lindy Ruff was very pessimistic that those two would be ready Thursday. But I think there's a good chance maybe in Carolina on Saturday they could get maybe those two back. So there's three guys that have a chance to get back maybe fairly soon.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. That's Eye on the Blue and Gold, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business. You don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. All right, Paul. So next up, the Blues tomorrow night, and then a road trip. The Sabres have not been on the road too much this year. Feels like they're home every night. But Carolina, Utah, Colorado, Detroit coming up after this game against the Blues.
And we talked about when we saw the schedule, if the Sabres have to take advantage of this home schedule, 5-0-2. What do you think? Are you taking advantage of the home schedule so far?
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, in their last seven games, you know, they're 5-0-2. They lost the first one at home, of course, to the Rangers, and but once they got it rolling at home, I mean, here they are seven home games since they got going, and 5-0-2. So I think they're at least doing that, but they still have not won a road game.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul.
Okay.
Paul Hamilton, his appearance brought to you by Raylax Honda.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
I didn't know, like you said before, that the Blues goalie who tried to steal that puck last night, Alex Ovechkin's 900th goal, think about that, already had a bad reputation. I didn't know that. Sal Capaccio with us now on the Wester Hotline. Sal, would you say you had authority over sports? Would you kick Jordan Binnington out of the league for that act last night, or would you also have him serve time? Would it be just kick him out of the league, or would you make sure he did time for that?
Like in prison? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That might be a little bit too far. I heard a theory today, too. This has been talked about today. I've been talking with some people. I heard a theory today, too, that he actually, even before, because Bulldog right. He's has this reputation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what did you hear, bro? Like, he might have had another puck that he put in his pants before the game.
He had a stunt puck. So like he planned, if Ovechkin scores, I'm going to keep the puck. And then when I get called out on it, I'm going to give them back the fake puck, the stunt puck, basically. I love stunt puck.
Love a stunt puck.
Did you guys already talk about this? I'm sorry.
No, not really. This specifically. We talked about his reputation. That's where Mike learned that he is like an all-time jerk already within the league. I mean, he just – like I don't even know if his teammates like him. But I'm sure – whatever. When he wins for them, it's all
there
fine.
Might be value in just carrying a puck around. In certain situations.
Maybe. I mean, Ovechkin wasn't too happy about it. He's like, And he goes, no,
I'm not going to comment. Yeah, no, right.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I just heard in the update, Jordan Kyrou is a healthy scratch.
Yes.
Like, this is the dude that, like, we were all like, oh, my God, could the Sabres trade for this guy? I just went back and looked to make sure I wasn't like, was I wrong?
He's
over 100 goals over the last 3 years.
He's got three 30-goal seasons in a row.
Yes.
And he's not off to – he's got 4 goals, 8 points maybe, or 8 assists or whatever.
4-4.
So, it's not terrible. But, yeah, they're spiraling. Wow. They've played 14 games. Last night was the fourth time in a game this year they've been behind by 4 or more goals. Like they're
wild.
Just getting stomped in.
Can't
games.
Wait for that to happen again tonight.
Right. So they're it's just like shakeup time. I think the coach even said, there's any number of guys I could take out, but he might be going for maximum effect. I'm going to bench, one of our, or if not our best guy, and like see if we can't get a fire lit here. What they need is saves.
Binnington's not playing tonight either, right?
No, the other, Hofer is the other guy.
Hofer?
They're both hovering around 850 save. They're terrible. They are giving up goals. I saw Expected Buffalo tweets out these game charts, and their goals below expected or goals saved above expected is like minus 18 or something. Like they are just getting no goaltending at all.
This guy's name is pronounced Hofer.
I think that's right.
It should be.
I think so.
H-O-F-E-R. It should be H-O-F-er.
Hall of Fame. Shouldn't it be HOF? His goals against is 5.02.
Yeah, that's a bad number.
Who is he? Gilles Melosh?
Well, they better. Sabres with their 20 forwards injured better still take advantage
right,
of this guy.
I know, tonight. Right. The Sabres are not. That right. Lineup is
classic matchup.
Pretty skint.
Gilles Melosh catching strays. He was good. I just thought of a name that I thought was funny. Okay. To the Bills and the injury report. I didn't see this first, but I had friends in a group thread talking about Cook's injury from having missed practice yesterday, and one of the Twitter doctors was tweeting about how he didn't like how the injury looked. Then as soon as I went to Twitter, I saw he's practicing. So
yeah, I mean,
much ado about nothing.
Well, that's, you know, the Twitter doctors, right? I don't know what to say about that other than, you know, I think the thing you can gain from it more than anything when you saw yesterday was the fact, Mike, that he finished the game last week.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that matters to me a lot. He finished the game and he spoke at the podium. He was even asked about it a little bit. And, you know, now it's always a chance you get into the, you unwrap your foot. He had it taped up. There's some swelling or there's some soreness. Totally. That can happen. But the fact that it appeared his injury happened very early in the game and that he finished the game was an encouraging sign, but you never know. So we advance on to today. And as you guys know, we're only able to watch a very limited portion of practice, like stretching and individual drills. He was out there for stretching and I watched him. He was doing running back drills. So, you know, that's a good sign. I saw him going over bags and cutting. So, you know, hopefully everything's on track for him to play on Sunday.
Yeah, I've just seen just in the few minutes between last segment and the start of this segment with you, a clip from a Kay Adams show where and guys take this for what it's worth, but Cook is on that show saying like I'll be fine for Sunday. Like, but, you know, guys often say that, and it's not always, you know, it's not official or anything, but it feels very much like it's trending towards him playing.
It feels like yesterday was a, let's just back off for a day here, you know, and make sure he gets right and he feels right type of day. I mean, he's carried quite a bit of load here, and including last week. And, you know, he's a big part of their offense. I mean, just look at right now what they're doing compared to last year and not doing with other running backs in the roster. I mean, this guy is it, right? He's the guy. He has become the bell cow. That's really has. Which is really interesting, the way that they've approached this position, where it's kind of way different than in years past. That said, guys, I mean, I'm sure that the rushing title would be very important to him, and missing a game would suck. Not that it's about individual accolades, but let's also remember he's from South Florida. You know, I mean, he grew up there, and it's probably an important game for him to want to play against the Miami Dolphins down there.
Well, look, I mean, this doesn't exactly – it's not a smoking gun here, but I have been worried about his usage, like him being overused. And, you know, he got hurt at the beginning of the game, so it's not like, you know, you can – oh, you what? But he still played 70% of the snaps in the Chief game after having suffered some degree of an injury early in the game. I get that his value being on the field, and that's a game you want to win, and like I understand it all. I think it might speak to the failure of the other running backs to come through, that they had to lean on him that much after having already suffered an injury in the game.
It could very well be. It's a really good question. I just had this exact same conversation with Andy Young, our buddy from Spectrum News. Him and I had this exact same conversation today about it, which is, Is it because Cook is just so good you can't take him off the field? Or is it, look, we're not really feeling it and trusting him? Ray Davis has really not played much this year, and he's not getting the ball much. And when he's been out there, he hasn't done much, quite frankly. But he's not far removed from last year of really playing a big role. Ty Johnson, same thing. He's been a big part of this. Now, he did score a touchdown. He's been – see what it feels like. I have to go back and look at his snap counts. He's been getting a little bit more run. But it could very well be that. It could just be that he is so good, and yeah, even though he got banged up, I don't care. He's so good, and we're going to be fine, and we have a good offensive line, and he's not taking big shots, and his yards before contact are good, so we can still protect him here in this situation. It could be that as well, of why he stayed on the field and still became that guy despite, you know, having that injury early on.
He has increased his value, like, and it's great that it at least happened after he got the contract, because if this gap between he and Davis
really was it's just what I'm talking about. Johnson is going to have his role as the third down back, and they trust him blocking and all that. Really, it's that Davis, the gap between Davis and Cook, I think, has grown this year. Last year, I wouldn't say it was like a dead heat or anything. Cook was the better player, but it wasn't as wide a gap between the two. Davis just has not come through at all for them when given a chance. So no, they've had the lead on Cook.
Yeah, sorry, I'm looking right now. Last year, basically, when he had his highest percentage, guys, he never played a game. Actually, week one against Arizona, he did. After that, never played a game with over 59%. Never got to 60% snaps. This year, he's already played two games over 70%.
Right.
And one over 66. Three games over 70%. 75 last week. So, yeah, I don't know what to make of it necessarily. I don't want to believe, but I think about this. I don't want to believe it's we paid him, we're playing him. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. I don't think the Bills would operate that
Me
way.
Me either. I think that would be really short-sighted.
Exactly. So I think it's he has done everything. And I'm going to go back to training camp. And when James talked to us about his contract before he signed it, when everything was going on, he said he had a goal to be on the field more on third down, be on the field more in general. So whatever he did to give the coaching staff that confidence in him, good for him. Because it's come to fruition for what he told us he wanted to do.
Is there a good working theory on Davis not playing more other than Cook just needing to play more himself? Because when Davis has played, I mean, it's 2.1 yards per carry. Like they're not getting anything out of it. Even in games where Cook did great, you think maybe it would just
right.
He would fall right in. But is there any working theory on him?
I would say no, I don't think so. But if you want to get to things like, is he not as effective as an inside zone runner, right? Something like that, what they like to run. Is he's not as effective in the style that they're using with James Cook specifically right now at the offensive line, but it's not really any different than last year. And yeah. I thought he was pretty effective last year at times, right? So I don't really know. I can't tell you there is, to be quite honest with you.
I really would have thought, I remember Cook talking like that. And to me, you know what that sounded like? It's like, I want to work on my pass blocking and show this team that I can be reliable in that. And I don't know how many reps he would have had in this game Sunday, but I know there's one where he tried to pass block and got absolutely run over. And so what is happening, I think Johnson is still playing that role. Where the extra snaps for him are coming are Davis, I think. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's funny. I don't know if you were involved in this conversation or not, but earlier this season, this has been a subject really all year already. Davis, it's not like he's dropped off like at some point this season. It just hasn't happened yet this year. And earlier this season, the guys on the morning show were running through last year's games. And aside from the Jet game where Cook wasn't active, most of the times that Davis got like the most of his work were games they were way ahead.
Sure.
Right.
Right. So
he hasn't truly been a real big integral part of like the offense. It's really been more of we're going to use you when, you know, we can get James out of the game.
Right.
Minnesota did an interesting thing last week with Detroit and Jahmyr Gibbs. Simplifying it, basically they just blitzed every time he was on the field and forced the Lions to keep him in. Which Campbell mm-hmm. talked about later as like, we got that wrong.
We
got
to figure out a pivot, yeah.
I think Matt Collar said on his podcast that maybe they did that 15 times in the game and got 7 sacks out of it. And Gibbs had like a nothing day. Can't be that easy, but it seemed to be a working strategy there for the Vikings in an upset win. All right, Sal, to the injury report.
Can I just add this one thing to it, by the way, real
yes.
quick?
Yes,
yes. It is funny. I'm looking at the snap counts. Reggie Gilliam, I know he's a fullback, and I get it, but because of the style of offense and what they're running right now, 61%, this is for the season, 61% Cook, Ty Johnson, 27, Reggie Gilliam, 24. Reggie Gilliam's been on the field for a quarter of the Bills' offensive plays, and then it's Ray Davis at 12%.
And he also hasn't touched the ball yet this
That's
year.
That's right.
Gilliam.
Yeah.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Is Benford the name we're listening for tomorrow morning, maybe, with McDermott down, limited DNP, played 100% of the snaps, speaking of snap counts, last week. But something came up.
Yeah, I think that's the one. Not good today that he did not practice today. So after showing up at the injury report yesterday as limited, not knowing he'd be on the injury report, then showing up, as we talked about, could be a number of things. Looks like he did probably do something in practice, because now he goes from limited to DNP today. So I think we're probably looking at Max Harrison getting his first NFL start on Sunday. AJ Epenesa, still in concussion protocol, has not practiced this week at all. Shaq Thompson, still dealing with the hamstring, has not practiced this week at all. Sam Franklin, special teams ace and safety, was out today but with an illness.
You know, with this news about Epenesa, and we'll see what comes of that, but that he's still in the protocol and hasn't taken any right. He's not progressing through it. No. He's still at the right. So the week's going
to not at least to the point to be on the field at all.
Right. That's so right. The week could run out on him. You know, we spent a lot of today and really all this week, Sal, talking about Brandon Bean and his job performance at the trade deadline. Landon Jackson is a third-round pick. They've yep. lost Michael Hoyt. They might be down Epenesa. You know, athletically, I guess, looking at measurables even, I feel like Landon Jackson, could you ask him to try to do the things that Hoyt was being asked to do in this defense? Like, maybe that's too much on his plate. I don't know. But a third-round pick that has barely played, and now it's a position of need, is really going to shine a light on him, I think.
I agree. I don't think you can ask him to do that. He is more of a edge-setting defensive end is really what he is. I don't think you could really ask him to play that role, to play off the ball, to move inside, stand up. And that also, by the way, it's not just what really the Bills, they lost in Michael Hoyt, which we all saw on the field. I mean, he was just a guy that could do so many things so well athletically. They also really lost a lot of the IQ that he brought to the table. I mean, he's an Ivy Leaguer, went to Brown, and he would set the defensive front on passing plays a lot of times. Watch him before the plays. He was pointing out. He was showing what's going on. Like, that was his role. To me, like, that you don't have to have the person who replaces Michael Hoyt to do that, right? You could have other people do that. Yeah. I get it. But I just think to throw Landon Jackson into there when he's been inactive, to me, Landon Jackson needs to be, hey, go out there, set the edge for us, and maybe get after the passer a couple times a game. That would really be a big benefit to allow other people to do those things.
Yeah, maybe he's purely an Epenesa replacement if Epenesa doesn't play and Javon Solomon plays that, like, that interior role, because he has been doing that in the absence of Hoyt, right?
That's right, Javon Solomon. And as you guys brought up the other day about, you know, Dorian Williams being on the roster and a guy that might be able to do something like that.
Yeah.
He's a little bit different, Dorian Williams, because you know, he is an off-ball linebacker. Javon is used to playing down in the line of scrimmage, so he can get a little closer. He understands how that game is particularly played right there. But Dorian Williams has been used as a spy quite a bit in his NFL career. So I think you'd be comfortable if Dorian Williams has to be that guy there in the middle. But probably Javon is the guy immediately that goes to more of the Hoyt role.
Some guys have been trending up. Does Josh Palmer play this week?
Good question. I think it's looking good for him. The fact that, you know what actually tells me more about Josh Palmer isn't this week. It's that he actually practiced last week a little bit.
Right.
Like, he's been on the field for over a week now. So to me, that's a really good sign. He started practicing last week. So you add that in with two limited days over the last couple of days. And I think that's looking a lot better for him. And then Joey Bosa with the wrist injury. Yesterday, he was a DNP. He did have his wrist either taped up, cast. So his wrist was covered today. So you could see that. But he was practicing. He was out there, which is good news, obviously.
Okay. That's all I got. One more. Actually, I just thought of it. We talked about this for a minute earlier. Tonight's game.
Yeah.
What's better? The Raiders upset to close the gap for the Chiefs? Or a Denver win so that Kansas City is closer to, you know, buried?
Mike, do you realize that right here in front of me, I have a sheet of paper that it says, if Mike asks you, do you have any questions for us?
This is it?
That was the question.
Oh.
Who do we want to win
tonight? What's better for the Bills tonight?
Yeah.
It's a good question, because I was actually going to throw it out on social, too, to see what Bills fans said. So my first inclination is to go, well, listen, you're kind of with the Broncos here. You don't, you know, you want to keep pushing these teams down and the Bills have an opportunity. Then I thought, well, let me go look at the Broncos schedule. They have the Chiefs still twice. I can't imagine they're going to beat them twice. They probably lose next week. Actually, the Chiefs are coming off a bye. So I think that them winning tonight is fine. I think the Broncos winning tonight is fine because I think they'll probably split with the Chiefs and you're going to get a loss there anyway. I don't know. I think that's the way I would want to look at it here, because they still have the Commanders, the Raiders, the Packers, the Jags, and then the Chargers at the end. I mean, hey, I mean, there's some winnable games here for them, but I think that's where I land right now, which is, you know what? Maybe let them win tonight. But if they lose, I don't think you're upset if you're a Bills fan, to be honest with you.
You're going to be happy either way, one of those games.
I guess so. I guess so, yeah. I mean, unless you have money on it and, you know, you're betting one team or the other.
And you don't get that Trey Tucker anytime touchdown. Otherwise, you're going to have a great night.
Right.
Okay.
Or the Adam Troutman.
Oh, well, how about, wait, I heard today on NFL Live, here's for your prop bets and things like that, maybe Joe said something like this. Apparently, the Broncos are terrible at defending tight ends, and tonight they face Brock Bowers.
Good. Oh, I feel like my life depends on
Mike
Brock Bowers.
Mike has a lot of interest in Brock Bowers, yeah.
It really is how it feels. I'm glad it's not literally
true. We didn't get to this earlier, but Mercedes Lewis, I just saw half an hour ago, has been brought up from the practice squad for Denver. So if you like a depth tight end, that's sort of our little niche here in the gambling on the Thursday night games.
Yeah.
He's 12-1 for a touchdown.
And he becomes the oldest non-kicker in the league once he steps on the field tonight, I think, Lewis. 41? All right, well, too bad you can't bet on that because it's known information. Nice to be able to just bet on something you know.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Sal. Talk to you
tomorrow. You got it,
guys. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Sabres have points in 7 straight. They look to make it 8 tomorrow as they are home to St. Louis. We're looking forward to your child's hockey journey starting right here in Buffalo. Our Learn to Play program includes a full set of gear, 6 weeks of instruction, and a ticket voucher presented by WellNow Urgent Care. No experience needed. You can upgrade to Team Tuck and your child can skate at KeyBank Center with Alex. Register now at sabres.com/learn to play. We promised Amerks GM and Sabres associate GM, Jason Carmanos, here on Sabres Live. Great to see you, Jason. It's, you know, much talked about here with the Sabres' run of points of late. The Amerks are off to a terrific start as well at 7-3. What's been your personal kind of big story so far early this year?
Big story is we're finding ways to get points in Buffalo, which is really important when you have this kind of start with a lot of injuries. You just have to find a way, and that's been you know, hasn't been perfect. You know, there's you know, sometimes when we've squandered a point or two away, but I like that the group is hanging in there, and I like in the early going that some of the young guys that have been coming along in Rochester have been able to contribute when needed. So that in the early going feels good.
Well, I do remember when I was in Rochester, Jody Gage was our GM, and when I would get called up and play well and return, or even if I stayed in Buffalo, like, he felt proud, right? It's like, oh, you know, it's like I was one of his kids. And so when you see Isaac Roseanne gets his first NHL goal, and then the next night, like, Noah Austin gets his first NHL goal, and the way that they've played, is there a sense of pride and fulfillment of what the work that's been done in Rochester?
Yeah, I mean, you're happy for them. They're putting in the work. They're on their development path. You know, there's no set time schedule for each player. I mean, they're all different. And so you, as an organization, have to keep that in mind as you go along here. You know, I love the way those two here, you know, they're looking more comfortable. You know, they're still not, you know, at the level, I'd say, you know, on a daily basis. You know, strength for both of them is still something that could improve. But I like the mindset, their approach. You know, they're a little bit more confident out there. You know, Rosie seems to want the puck like he wants the puck in Rochester now. Yeah. So that, you know, that doesn't come overnight. You know, Noah's very responsible, but now he's starting to make some plays here and there, getting a little more comfortable to play the game that we've seen him play in Rochester. So good signs. You know, like before Kozak got hurt, I thought he was flying and playing well and doing his thing. And, you know, so, you know, those are guys that spent a ton of time in Rochester, obviously. So, yeah, you like to see that over time. That's what we're trying to do. So yeah. It does make you happy to see. It makes you happy for them first and foremost, because they're putting the work in.
And included in the most recent run of players scoring their first NHL goals, but he's older, but he was still incredibly valuable when you brought him into the Amerks last year, was done. So, like, there has to be this art, right, to team building and all roles. What can you say about Josh and what he's meant organizationally here in the last year and a bit?
Yeah. No, I mean, he's just, first of all, just his leadership in Rochester right from the start, coming in from a different organization. The way he carries himself, I'm sure you guys know, he's just a pleasure to be around, you know, day in, day out, comes to the rink with a smile on his face, works his tail off all the time, plays hard, you know, like, you know, it's taken him a long time to score that goal, but geez, it was, you know, talk about being happy for somebody. Yeah. You know, and he can, you know, he just, you know, he's the type of guy that's just going to contribute in some way. He's going to find a way to help the team, you know, and he's still adjusting to this level. I mean, obviously there's some limitations that have probably kept him out of the league, but, you know, he works at it. He's a smart player. He's determined. He competes like crazy. So, I mean, those are things our team needs. I think his presence has definitely helped, you know, in this situation where we're grinding for points, and we're getting them. You know, like I said, it's not pretty all the time, but the important part is that you're getting points.
The million-dollar question, and I'm sure that it's a situation that's a little bit unique, but there are six goalies between Rochester and Buffalo. And most of the people would want to know, like, Devon Levi is 5-0 and going to play tonight. So they want to know, how's Devon doing? How is he making the steps? But also, what are we to expect now with, you know, picking up Colton Ellis on waivers and Lukanen being healthy and Georgiev? Like, there's a couple of prospects in Leinonen and Ratzlaff that are a part of this whole situation too.
Hey, you're a goalie. We just can't get enough of them. We just, you know,
well, I know, but now I'm worried they're going to come for my job too. So that's the problem. There's too many of them.
Yeah. You know, you can't predict, first off, like, you know, we had some things up in the air to start the year, you know, yeah. UPL's injury status. You can't predict who might be coming down, the pipe as a waiver guy that you could, put onto your roster. You know, when we obviously brought in Georgiev, there was lots of uncertainty for UPL. And, you know, he's a guy, Georgiev is, with 300 plus starts in the NHL. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of experience. So, and he was fine in training camp. He didn't do anything wrong, in my opinion. But a young goalie comes along that we've got time for in terms of scouting reports and the numbers to this point in his young career. And, you know, we felt like we had to take that opportunity to pick him up, you know, since he's had some, you know, minor ailments that have kept him out since he played his first game. But I think the important part is that we're still feel like we're maybe not totally out of the woods in terms of, you know, making sure that, you know, UPL is healthy, ready to go. I mean, he feels good. I don't mean to indicate that there's anything wrong, and he played well the other night. You know, Lyon played great last night, obviously. So, you know, it's just a situation that we're managing, knowing how important the goaltending is. You know, we can deal with a less than ideal situation in terms of having numbers. Rather have depth than a lack of depth, that's for sure.
Yeah. Is it something that you have like discussions on, like a time frame as far as like kind of how long you stay with this many players, or is it so situationally driven by not only your own organization, others?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's just, you know, a situation that, you know, it admittedly is not ideal from a number standpoint. You know, it can present some issues in terms of our roster management on a day-to-day basis, and all of that is not ideal. But, you know, it's superseded, you know, in my mind with, you know, the interest in making sure that, you know, if we've got talented players that, you know, could help us, that, you know, we need to be mindful of that as well. So, yeah, I mean, not ideal, but at the same time, like, you know, it's a situation that we're managing mm-hmm. right now. You know, the three goalies in both places have great attitudes. They're great teammates. They understand what's going on. Yeah. And we're just, like I said, focusing on the positive aspects right now, but you know, at some point we may need to deal with it, but we're not feeling the need to deal with it, before there's, you know, something that we, can't get around.
Mm-hmm. How's Devin Levi? And I mean, I can talk a lot about the on ice. Like, I feel like he's, he looks bigger. He looks stronger and a little bit more under control, which is some things that needs to, but how is he now, you know, seeing that there's three guys in Buffalo and having to be, you know, down in Rochester, I would assume, and I know the kid has a great attitude you just mentioned, but how do you see that being helpful for his development for the future?
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously the position, you know, is difficult to establish yourself, difficult to, you know, be in the NHL as, you know, either a starter or a backup or a 1A, 1B, you know, either spot, you know, it's not something that happens overnight. So, mm-hmm. you know, here's a guy that came in and played so well right out of the gate, and played a lot of good games for us, but you know, it's hard. You know, I my opinion is the position takes time. You know, and I think Devin understands that. He wants to play first and foremost. He wants to be the best goalie that he can be for his whole career. You know, what's happened in the past sort of water under the bridge, in my opinion. Yeah. And at this point now, it's about him playing a lot and continuing his development path. I like what you said. I do think he's stronger. I do think that he's been really consistent sort of like some economy in his movement, I think, in the early going, that at times he's a competitor and he's a tremendous athlete. And at times he's maybe a little too active and pucks are kind of bouncing a bit off of him. And so those are things he's working on. I mean, he's got so much ability, as we all know. But there's other aspects to this, as getting to the point where you're the best goaltender you can be at the National Hockey League level. I mean, he's been in the fire already to know that it just keeps coming night after night. Mm-hmm. And so it can beat you down, And so I think we're mindful of making sure, that he goes through the proper steps in his development to be the best goaltender he can be.
Real quick, with all the talk here with Buffalo of Oslin and Rosé in the last couple of games, big, big opportunity for Konsta Hellenius here to be the 1C for the Amerks tonight against Syracuse and, however many games moving forward. Where's he at?
Oh, he's having a great start to his season. Four or five grade A's a night. Everything red line forward is really, really good. Still working on his overall game, and that, I mean, playing center primarily this year, he's 19 years old. So, we're cognizant of that. And that development on the, defensive side of his game, faceoffs, down low play, just reading, reacting in his own end, that's still a work in progress as it is with most every young player. So, but he's off to a great start, building on the way he finished in the playoffs, quite frankly. And in that series in Laval, he was our best player. And that's really saying something for an 18-year-old in that environment. So, we think he's got loads of potential. He's off to a good start, but he's still developing his all around game.
Oh, what happens when I'm listening and I'm looking at his stats and I'm looking at the impact that he's having this year, and knowing that, Roseanne is in Buffalo and Oslin is in Buffalo. And now you're like, okay, that is a learning experience for Konsta Hellenius. Now, he's still small in his stature, but he goes to the spots. And you said there's not really any set time for development, but what can we expect for him over the next couple of years to say, like, size wise and maybe some of that physicality coming through, because I think it's there.
Yeah, it is there. I mean, he showed that in the playoffs last year in Laval there, which is a very tough building to play in, and certainly not afraid of the moment, not afraid to play in the hard areas. He's not tall, but he's, strong on his skates, and he knows how to hit too. Like, I mean, some guys just, he absorbs contact well. So there's some natural, I think, strength to him. Like, he's a thicker body, but yet he still has lots of room to gain more strength. So, that's different from Oslin. He's obviously a much slighter body. And they're basically the same height, Konsta is a little bit taller. But strength is key for any young player. I mean, some players a little bit more physically developed. I think he's strong already without being physically developed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's an area of growth for him as well. Moving his feet more, I think he's been able to play like in Liga and other levels, thinking the game through, slowing it down. And there's time and place for that at times, but when he's at his best, Konsta is moving his feet and going and dictating the play. Getting him to do that consistently shift after shift is still a work in progress. Some of it may be conditioning and, just developing that tank over time. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Noah, same thing with Rosie. Like, these are young guys, and you know, takes a lot of audio to play against the men in the NHL.
It does. We'll look forward to watching Hellenius and company tonight in Rochester. Jason, thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Take care.
Jason Karmanos, Amerks GM, Associate GM of the Sabres.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.